I would like now to shift our attention for a while to spies in ancient Greece. Plato once wrote that all Greek city-states were in a permanent state of war, either declared or undeclared. These conditions of fortress cities, surrounded by enemies, imposed a strategic reliance in ancient Greece on fairly sophisticated intelligence and counterintelligence techniques, many of which you will recognize still operate today in modern cities under siege by the imminent threat of terrorist actions. Our best source on espionage in ancient Greece comes from the writings on the Greek art of war by Aeneas Tacitus in the 4th century BCE. His only surviving tract, How to Survive Under Siege, offers us enormous insight into the use of spies to penetrate enemy fortifications during the era, but also on the use of counterintelligence to stymie those enemy infiltration efforts. Aeneas Tacitus furnished us with a long list of Greek defensive strategies designed to prevent infiltration of fortress cities, everything from censoring incoming and outgoing mail to restricting the use of lights that might be used as signals at night. In ancient Greece, the walls of a city were the first line of defense against infiltrating spies. At all times, all gates would be closed, preventing the flow of potential spies in or out of the city. And gatekeepers should be, Aeneas Tacitus wrote, wise and sharp-witted men who have families living within the city's limits. Tacitus insisted that watches carried out by guards around the walled perimeter should be carried out by units, not individuals. This redundancy reduced the likelihood that one guard's negligence or distraction could render the city vulnerable to enemy infiltration or attack. Men allocated to watch towers would often rotate to avoid collusion with conspirators. These regular rotations and the nightly assignments of guards was kept secret by the generals so that no individual spy could give advance notice to his allies of his position. At night, lights would be given only to trusted men and were often used to signal either danger or that their tower is alert and not compromised. The point? Greek officers operated on the presumption that enemy overtures to gain the service of soldiers inside the city were inevitable. One could not trust the loyalty of one's own men. If an enemy spy did manage to enter a city, one strategy employed by the Greek city-state of Sparta was that during that time, all foreigners were expelled, in this way reducing the likelihood of foreign-born spies operating within the fortress gates. Any unauthorized entrance into a naval dock brought summary execution. Knowing that a spy is likely to be captured in a well-guarded city, enemy generals sometimes sent their agents with false information, in this way reflecting the Greek use of what Sun Tzu called doomed spies. Like the Chinese, for the Greeks, a spy was never to be trusted, and as historian J.A. Richmond observed, it was too much to expect that his achievements would be admired and chronicled by historians. The ancient Greeks also relied heavily on spies to reconnoiter enemy positions in advance of battle. Philip of Macedon, the father of Alexander the Great, who ruled from 382 to 336 BCE, used many such spies during his rule. Before launching the Greek crusade against the Persians around 350 BCE, Philip tried to inform himself about the enemy, their resources, and the immense area they occupied. Toward this end, Philip utilized spies who could easily slip unnoticed inside Persian borders. For example, Greek ambassadors who visited Persia on official business, trading merchants, travelers, pilgrims traveling for religious festivals or sporting events, Greek aristocrats who maintained connections with their counterparts inside Persia, and mercenaries. Note that Philip was assassinated in 336 BCE during the early stages of the Persian campaign, not because of failed intelligence against the Persians, but because of betrayal from within his own ranks. Philip's son, Alexander the Great, who ruled from 356 to 323 BCE, applied many of the lessons he learned from his father to unify the Greek city-states under Macedonian control by 336 BCE. We know, for instance, that he regularly intercepted outgoing mail from soldiers in his own army to detect enemy spies in his own ranks.